listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. Appears is the big word of the day, as one John Heyman tweeted out that it appears that Aaron Judge is going to the Giants, and then 6 minutes later, he walked it back. Well, hot take hickey, it appears that if the 49ers are still playing divisional round weekend, that one Jimmy Garoppolo could actually be back. Now, the report yesterday was Jimmy Garoppolo is donezo for the season. Kyle Shanahan even said after the game on Sunday that he's done for the year, and it was going to be Brock Purdy time. Well, today, Adam Schefter, an actual NFL insider, says sources, doctors concluded today that 49ers QB Jimmy Garoppolo does not need foot surgery. It's not a Liz Frank's injury, and if rehab goes smoothly, he could have a chance to return in 7 to 8 weeks, making him a potential playoff contributor. Now, Schefter gave more clarity. Divisional playoff weekend is 7 weeks from the day Jimmy Garoppolo was injured. Conference championship game is 8 weeks away from his injury. And the Super Bowl marks 10 weeks. So, few things at play here. If it's for the divisional round, that means they're going to have to win the wild card round without Jimmy Garoppolo, because you're not going to get the number one overall seed. Could they win the wild card round without Jimmy Garoppolo? I think it's a possibility. Because if you were to look at this, the one seed's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. The four seed is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Two's going to be Minnesota. And then three is probably going to be your NFC West winner. So, if the 49ers still win the NFC West, which right now they're an 8-4 football team, the Seahawks are 7-5, is it possible right now that 3-6 matchup would be 49ers-Giants? Is it possible that the 49ers beat the Giants with Brock Purdy at quarterback? Yes. Then it comes to the decision, were there any setbacks? And also, if Brock Purdy wins a playoff game, do you then bench him the following week? Let's say he plays well. Let's say Brock Purdy goes 20 of 27, 255 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. 49ers beat the Giants. Hickey, how do you think the 49ers would approach that if Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, Purdy's playing well, and you have a divisional round matchup where Jimmy G is ready to go? And let's say that divisional round matchup could be, against the Vikings, because let's say the Vikings are the 2, they beat the Seahawks right now as the 7, then 2 would play 3, it would be Minnesota and the 49ers, because those would be the 2 highest seeds remaining, and, you know, Philadelphia being the highest would end up playing a lower seed.
I would say it depends on these next 5 games go for the 49ers. If Brock Purdy's up and down, mostly bad, I don't think one playoff game would be enough if Jimmy G is fully healthy without limits to keep Brock Purdy in over Jimmy G. But if it's a little bit more, maybe not like he did against Miami, let's say comparable, a little bit, you know, comes back down to earth, but still serviceable. Honestly, I think I'd ride the hot hand.
Wow.
I just don't know if bringing a guy in ice cold 7 weeks on the bench is the best thing to do in either the divisional round game or at 8 weeks, a conference championship game.
Also, he's a guy who's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. This isn't as if you have Tom Brady waiting in the wings or Peyton Manning waiting in the wings or, I know he's had playoff shortcomings, Aaron Rodgers. It's not a creme de la creme quarterback. It's a guy who you look at and you say, yeah, he's a solid quarterback. Teams had the option to go get him this year. No one really bit, but he just finds a way to win games. Now, I think if he's going to return, it's going to have to be for the divisional round. Because if you're in a conference title game and Brock Purdy's playing, he has to play somewhat of a role to get them to a conference title game, and you have two wins in the playoffs, it's tough to then go back in an NFC title game to Brock Purdy, to Jimmy Garoppolo and replace Brock Purdy. So if he's going to come back, I think it's for the divisional round. But this is also going off the assumption that there's not going to be any setbacks. There could be setbacks here, and then this pushes back the timeline even further and further down the road when it comes to the natural healing of this injury.
And again, Jimmy Garoppolo, who is, we'll say, somewhat fragile, right? Maybe there's no guarantee that he is someone who kind of bounces back and is not only back healthy, but is also, again, sharp playing-wise.
And you also have to think about it from the financial standpoint. 49ers can't franchise tag you. It seems like Jimmy Garoppolo always does the right thing, and he's a great leader, and he's a great team guy. So it doesn't seem like this will be the move he makes. But let's say there's a chance he could come back for the playoffs, and you would think as a competitor you want to play for the playoffs. But if you have a sense that the 49ers aren't going to bring you back, and if there's further risk to injury here, I don't know, and there could be further damage, you already have kind of restored your reputation to some extent that there will be somewhat of a market for you this offseason. He'll get a job after this offseason as a starting quarterback. I wonder how much that plays into it when you're looking to go get a contract. I don't know if a team's going to be willing to give him a multi-year deal. Maybe they would, maybe you don't. When teams are desperate to find a quarterback, they do crazy things. I wonder how much the financial component of this is going to factor in as well.
Maybe I'm being naive, but I do think he is set in terms of, I don't think his stock will get hurt if he comes back, tries to push through. You can always blame, well, the foot didn't heal, he came back too early and was trying to play the hero.
Totally agree with you on that. But what I'm saying in terms of further, is there any possibility of further damage to this injury by playing?
Like he's if out you rush all of it back, next year.
Yeah, you rush it back or something like that. This has been a guy, unfortunately, and this is why when the Patriots had an opportunity to get him back before drafting Mac Jones, I was out on Jimmy G. Yeah, when he plays, his ceiling is just being good. He wins games, but the guy has dealt with a lot of injuries. It seems like Jimmy G, healthy one year, wins a lot of games, hurt the next year, then comes back, wins a lot of games, then hurt the next year. So with all that he's already been through, and you have a chance to go get potentially, like what, a three-year deal this offseason? And a three-year deal for a quarterback pays really, really well. I wonder how much that factors into it. But I do tend to agree with you. Oh, look at that. Let's agree. I do tend to agree with you that if Garoppolo is cleared and he's allowed to play, that he is going to play, because if you leave it up to the hands of a player, you know players 9 times out of 10 are usually wired to play.
This, I hope the 49ers win their opening round game. This is going to be a fun debate all week long. Jimmy G or Brock Purdy? Let's hear it. Let's duke it out.
Now, you have to be probably feeling good about this news, because yesterday you put on this farce of still saying that the 49ers could get to the Super Bowl. I don't actually believe that you believe that. I think that it was more so you said it a few weeks ago and you still don't trust the NFC, so you want to dig your heels in deep and you want to just believe in that roster of the 49ers, which you're entitled to do. You got to be feeling pretty good that there's at least a chance. You're telling me there's a chance that Jimmy Garoppolo could come back this year. Because down deep, you know they're not getting to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy.
I guess my thing is, I don't know. Like, I don't really expect Jimmy Garoppolo after 2 months off rehabbing to come back and, like, be the hero. Like, so, like, I honestly doesn't really change much for me because, again, I think I'm with you, by the way. If he's going to come back, it's for the divisional round. If whether Brock Purdy plays well enough where they want to ride the hot hand, or Jimmy G's not healthy enough to come back, I don't see him come back in a conference championship game playing, you know, Superman and leading San Francisco to victory after 2 months off.
It really shows you how blah we think of the NFC this year. Because think about this conversation we're having. We're talking about a 49ers team that has a lot of talent. We're talking about them, even without their starting quarterback and their backup quarterback. They're playing a guy that's third string in Brock Purdy, because before the year was Trey Lance, then it was Jimmy Garoppolo. Now you're going to Brock Purdy, We're talking about that guy just getting them to the divisional round. And not only just getting them to the divisional round, no complications in any setback in the healing process of this injury, just to have a chance for Jimmy Garoppolo to be there. It shows you that a lot of people, with how much of a conversation's happening today, don't really love a lot of teams in the NFC. Like, I look at Philadelphia. They're by far and away, to me, the best team in the NFC. Then I would say Dallas is two right now. And then I would put Minnesota in at number three. You know, I know what Brady did last night. I think Brady could win any game possible. But I'm not believing in that Buccaneers team. The Giants, they don't have a Super Bowl team this year. The Commanders don't have a Super Bowl team. The Seahawks don't have a Super Bowl team. The door feels so open. And when you have teams just fade away, like the Bucs not be that good as we thought they were going to be, the Packers not be that good, the Rams not be that good, it shows you that when you go into a season thinking you know so much and then it's proven to be wrong, it's tough to embrace those other teams that surprise a lot of people and end up doing better than what people think. Because every show today is having this debate, well, what happens when Jimmy Garoppolo comes back? Can the 49ers still win without Jimmy Garoppolo? Where if we had this conversation in, let's say, the AFC, where you have the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Bengals, like, let's just say if the Bills lost Josh Allen, do you think anyone is having the conversation and actually believing that Case Keenum could still get the Bills to the Super Bowl? A guy that's been to an NFC title game in Minnesota, by the way. No, because you have a lot more respect for teams like the Chiefs and the Bengals, right?
Right.
In the NFC, it seems like the respect is not there, where the Eagles right now are 11-1 and people still trying to take away from that team. The Vikings, okay, I can see why people are trying to take away because they got blown out by the Cowboys. They got blown out by the Eagles. Dallas, they have that reputation of being really good, and then when the moment shines the brightest, they usually disappoint you. The respect is there in the AFC. It doesn't feel like the respect is there nationally in the NFC.
Well, I think partly, too, the NFC, especially the top three teams, you mentioned the Eagles, Cowboys, and Vikings, just they all have major questions at a head coach and quarterback when it comes to play, getting it done in the playoffs. Like Nick Sirianni, coach one playoff game, same as Jalen Hurts. Like there's, I don't know, I think playoff experience is important. Until you kind of get over the hump, I think there's a reason to doubt. Dak Prescott, Mike McCarthy, we know, same thing, especially with how last year ended. And Kevin O'Connell, first year head coach, Kirk Cousins, I don't think really anyone feels good about him come playoff time. So it's like, I know they have no quarterback, but you look at the 49ers with all of that season playoff experience, I think in one area it gives them an edge over everyone else outside of maybe the Bucs.
It is funny, though.
Because they do have a ton of, you know, experience no one else has.
It's funny how low the bar is, though. And trust me, I get how good the 49ers have been. But their coach in a big game usually chokes the lead. Their quarterback in a big game is not your ideal quarterback to go make the big throw. Remember the Super Bowl where he overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. It's funny to me that, yes, the way that they're built, they've been to a Super Bowl, they've been to another NFC title game. It's funny to me that that's the wagon that everyone's hitching them, that you're hitching your wagon to the 49ers this year of trusting them the most. When you still look at their head coach, I think their head coach is really good. He's a top 10 coach in the league. But when he gets into a big game, he was the offensive coordinator of a team that choked a 28-3 lead. In a Super Bowl, he had a lead up against the Kansas City Chiefs. His team choked it away. And their quarterback is not a quarterback that you look at as a big-time quarterback and a finisher. So there's a little irony in there is what I'm saying. That's the team that you trust the most with their quarterback who right now is hurt and then a coach who's really good but still hasn't won a Super Bowl.
I mean, for Kyle Shanahan, I mean, I know we could put the 20-3 debacle on him and his play calling, sure, but it's like, at least for the 49ers, I wouldn't say he's choked anything away. Like, he's not the one throwing the ball that Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew, and again, it's also Patrick Mahomes. Like,
play calling over the middle there on that third down, I thought they should have ran it when he threw it and it got batted down by Chris Jones.
Just a great play, I would say. I mean, great play by a great player.
I would have rather trusted the run.
The fourth down call was tremendous, right? And Emmanuel Sanders was open. Hit him.
He was. But I'm just saying that coach, whenever he has a lead, doesn't usually go his way.
You know, forget the player last year, but you catch the interception, the punt that Matthew Stafford throws up there, down what, touchdown or 10 points, whatever it was?
You could speak logically. There will always be that stench until Shanahan wins the Super Bowl about him choking leads in a big spot. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, Baker Mayfield has a new home. The LA Rams. Can Baker start this week? Is Baker going to start games this year for the Rams and maybe restore his career in the next 4 or 5 weeks? Or is this just a waste of a conversation? We're talking big, bad Baker Mayfield, who has gone from Cleveland to Carolina and now out to L.A. to join Sean McVay and the Rams. And who the heck is he throwing to? We'll get into all that next on the Zach Kelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So hot take hickey, Baker Mayfield is going to the Rams. And according to Adam Schefter, asked if Baker Mayfield has a chance to play Thursday night for the Rams, one source just texted, there's a shot. The team is in process of sending the playbook to Mayfield to make sure he could study the offense on his flight to Los Angeles. That's crazy to me. The guy was just claimed on waivers today. How the heck is he going to know enough of the playbook and even have any relationship with those teammates to get on the field on Thursday night? That's two nights away. And the Thursday night game this week at SoFi Stadium is the lovely Las Vegas Raiders up against the Rams. I love the Raiders in that game, Hickey. That's my initial take on that game. The Raiders are playing better football. I could see them getting to 6-7. You know, Carter Adams is going to find a way to hit a few times in that game. We don't know if Aaron Donald's going to play with him not playing last week. That seems like the Raiders are on the verge of going to 6-7, by the way.
I wonder who I guess you'd rather face Baker Mayfield if you're the Raiders too, right? Like, they'll have like four plays in the playbook. Versus, I mean, John Wolford.
Well, their defense stinks, the Raiders.
The bar is low, but he did score 23 points against the Seahawks on Sunday.
He started a playoff game.
The highest totals I think they've scored all year.
Well, it shows you two things. One, the Rams really don't believe that much in John Wolford.
No.
Or Perkins. And two, it also shows you they have no respect for the Raiders' defense.
We will get a guy 48 hours late. He will be on the field at the most important position calling every play.
The Amazon Prime schedule this year, by the way, it has been horrible. These Thursday night games have really been a disaster.
Bezos has not gotten his return on the investment,
well,
that's for sure.
It started out so well. Chiefs and Chargers to open up the year that week, too. That was a good game, back and forth. Chargers had the lead, then the Chiefs find a way to pull it out. Then that week three game, nothing really memorable from Brown Steelers. It was a sloppy game. I think there was a defensive score late, if memory serves me right. Bengals and Dolphins, that was memorable because of the Tua injury.
Oh, yeah.
Colts-Broncos, disaster.
One of the worst
close
games of the year.
Ah, it was a close game.
No touchdowns, 12-9.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Oofa.
Then the following week, do you remember the game the next week?
Yes.
It was even worse
even
offensively.
Worse. Oh, no. Yes, I remember it and I don't. It was, oh, yeah, it was Commanders-Bears, right?
12-7.
Yikes.
Then you had the Cardinals and the Saints, where you had Andy Dalton throw 9,000 picks, 42-34. Ravens-Bucks, it was decent, 27-22.
Some drama.
Eagles, Texans.
Eh.
No, thank you. 29-17. That was up against the World Series, too. Panthers and Falcons.
Yuck.
Oof. 25-15. Carolina won.
PJ Walker, right? Played well in that game.
Yeah. Titans and Packers.
Good one.
Eh. 27-17.
Well, considering so far the first, 10 games you just mentioned.
Yeah, it's true. And the game I was at last week, Bills and Patriots. Oof. You want to hear the Thursday night games down the stretch?
This has not been good offensive football on Thursday night.
Raiders-Rams this week.
Yikes. Which might be one of the worst, by the way. And there's a lot of contenders. That might be one of the worst.
Actually, this one is not going to be bad.
Next Thursday.
Yeah. 2 weeks from now. Week 15. 49ers Seahawks.
Really good. Oh, yeah.
Good game.
In Seattle?
Could decide who wins the NFC West. There's the inside track to win the NFC West. Remember, the 49ers beat the Seahawks over the year 27-7.
With Jimmy G coming in to save the day for Trey Lance getting hurt. Okay.
The 22nd of December. You fired up for this one?
Oh, no.
Mike White hosting Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. See, that's a game that intrigues you because you love Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence.
And Mike White, I want to see him succeed. So, okay, I'm in. I'll watch that game. Two young, potential budding stars.
And then you get a decent one at the end of the year. That's a good one. Week 17. Tennessee hosting Dallas.
Titans are on Sunday, Thursday Night Football again?
Mm-hmm. They were at week 11, then week 17. And then were they on any other time? No. Yeah, they got two Thursday night games this year. That's the schedule. Is that like crazy to you?
Kind of, yeah, because you only get one Thursday night game a year on a short week, unless the math doesn't add up.
The extra week now, does that, I don't know if that
I guess it might.
So. That's the schedule.
That's
right
kind of brutal.
They should start getting some flexing powers to flex out of some of these Thursday night games. Imagine you're a player. Oh, yeah, you got to play a few days earlier. Oh, that would be brutal. Absolutely brutal. I have the number that Baker Mayfield's wearing with the Rams. Have you seen this yet?
I have not.
Okay. It is not number 6.
Not 6.
He wore 6 at Oklahoma. He wore 6 with the Browns. He wore 6 with the Panthers. New number, new Baker Mayfield.
Okay. Single digit or double digit?
Double digit.
Wow. I thought he'd go like number 2. I don't know if this number's available. I'd say like number 2 would be a good one. Okay. Double digit. You got to have something swaggy. That's number 1. You can't have like clunky, like 14. Ugh.
15. It's a little clunky, this number.
14.
Nope. Baker Mayfield is wearing the number 12, and he commented. He's saying, I want to beat like Tom Brady, so I'm having a number change to number 12.
He didn't say that.
No, it's not actually number 12.
I am Tom Brady 2.0.
I want to look up to Rodgers and Brady, so I want to be like them. So I'm wearing number 12. No,
number
10? Number 12. No.
That's not a very good number.
No, I think Brady Quinn for some reason. This is, if you just looked at the number, you would think it's a punter number.
14. 14 screams punter to me.
No.
16.
No. Friend of show wore this number. He
Friend
was a quarterback.
Of show.
He's quarterback.
Quarterback wore this number.
Mm-hmm. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do 13.
Who is that? Who's your favorite punter of all time?
That is.
You have a favorite punter?
Yeah.
I guess I do too.
He was my computer password when I was a kid growing up for
the longest
of time.
No way.
Mm-hmm. He played for the Patriots from 2001 to 2003, and then I think came back for a little bit after that for a year. Ken Walter. Big Ken Walter fan.
Now, you're talking to someone whose first baseball jersey was Todd Pratt, who's basically a journeyman backup catcher. He's on the Mets for a few years.
He was my computer password.
But a punter for 3 years on the Patriots.
Jumping up and down with Vinatieri with all those game-winning kicks. He was the holder.
Wow. That's, you know what? I guess, folks, if you're not the star, you might as well be next to the star. That's how you get known.
Baker Mayfield's new number. Can I get a drum roll, please? 17. Jake Delhomme is the friend of the show that wore 17.
17's Josh Allen wears 17.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't like it.
Let's see. QBs.
11 would have been sleek.
To wear 17. You know what's so weird?
13 would have been a good
Phillip Rivers wore 17.
Phillip Rivers also wore 17.
I don't really think of quarterbacks. Yeah, and you just named two pretty damn good ones, Josh Allen and Phillip Rivers, to wear the number 17. I think that's like more receiver, right?
Yeah. Now, especially that, you know, they're allowing Darren lower
Wilson
numbers.
Right now wears 17, I think, of the Jets.
On the Jets.
Hal Carmichael is in the Hall of Fame, wore 17. And I don't know why. I don't usually think quarterbacks.
17 is definitely better than 14.
Well, Ryan Tannehill.
Better than 15.
Doesn't he wear 17, Tannehill?
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Better than 16. 16 might be the worst.
Jared Goff?
Worst number in terms of clunkiness. Oof. Yeah, no wonder why he stinks. Not because he has no talent.
Well, what's the immediate reaction of Baker Mayfield to the Rams? Because immediately people go, oh, he's with McVay. But yeah, you're with McVay in a terrible year. And who are you throwing the football to? Cooper Kupp's dunzo. He's out for the year.
Same with Allen Robinson.
You getting excited about Tyler Higbee?
Van Jefferson?
Tutu Atwell?
Oof. Who thinks the lightest player in the NFL?
Oh, he's so small. I remember when he joined us before the draft. Or who's the dude? Ben Skoranek?
That's right. Former Northwestern Notre Dame guy. Smart guy.
And you have Cam Akers, who's there but never wants to be there. And an offensive line that stinks. So if you would have told me before the start of the year that Baker got traded to the Rams and then Stafford got hurt and he was the guy, I'd say, oh, that's a good landing spot because you got Cooper Kupp there. You bring in Allen Robinson, defending Super Bowl champs, solid defense. But the Rams have been such a disaster this year. It's not as if you're jumping for joy going to the Rams, other than you're going to at least be given an opportunity to play. Like, think about that. Baker Mayfield got benched for Sam Darnold and P.J. Walker. He was third in the depth chart, Baker Mayfield. Like, that's how far your career has fallen, where 2 years ago, you were the starting quarterback for a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2002, got them to the playoffs, and haven't won a playoff game since 1995. Last year, we all thought was the poor play because of the injury, or was it because he's not that good? And this year in Carolina, I know it's quick that he goes there, but he was horrible. Sam Darnold hasn't played in a while. He stinks. He's looked better than Baker. And P.J. Walker, who's playing in what, the XFL? I've seen more P.J. Walker than anybody at Temple. He should not be a starting quarterback in this league. And he outplayed Baker Mayfield. Steve Wilks looked around and said, geez, Baker, you can't even be the backup. Yeah, you're going to be number three. And I'm surprised that didn't end in a disastrous way. It kind of shows you that the once very proud Baker Mayfield seems like a defeated man now. Because he couldn't even be a malcontent in that. Like, you read all these things in the locker room. You would think if Baker wasn't starting, he'd be a pain in the ass in the locker room. All these teammates that have been speaking about him the last 24, 48 hours have talked about him in a glowing fashion. Glowingly, Hickey. That surprised me, especially with the reputation that Baker has.
Surprising, absolutely. And it makes you wonder if he felt this way 6 months ago, where his career would be. Like, I know it's a tough situation. Don't get me wrong. But if he stayed in Cleveland with a roster that's 10 times better than Carolina,
you have the run game.
With a run game that's better,
you know the team.
You know the playbook. You don't have a head coach on the hot seat. So, sure, it would have sucked to give up your job this past week when Deshaun Watson comes back. But who knows? Like, if he built a stock up, who knows where he would be?
Yeah, it's so tough. So let me ask you this. I'll ask you this way. Let's say I was bringing in a new producer and I tapped that new producer. Like, let's say I hired Ack. All right. Ack's going to be moving over from the anchor chair to the producing chair.
You're in trouble.
Money.
Like, yeah, sure.
All right. I'm in.
In this fake situation, yeah. You want a 10-year contract for $50 million? Go ahead. We're bringing in Ack.
I'm in.
They bring in Ack, but Ack has all these off-the-field controversies. So Ack had, you know, was a bad person, had to sit out for the first 10, 11 weeks because our boss has suspended Rich Ackerman. Would you want to stay in this environment where you have to work with me every day, Hickey, where I'm saying you're not good enough to be the producer and I'm replacing you with the guy who's A, better than you, but comes with all this baggage? Would you want to be the placeholder?
I probably wouldn't. I get why Baker left. I'm just saying, like, now I'm just more using the benefit of, you know, revisionist history in hindsight of this worked out as basically as poor as it could have gotten. You just wonder with a better team and a more,
right,
you know, favorable system, if
maybe if he could have swallowed his pride. You know where I think the miscalculation was? I really believe that Baker thought he was going to Seattle and that the Seahawks were going to say, oh, we can't start Geno Smith or Drew Lock. we got to go trade for Baker Mayfield. And then when that didn't happen, he was already all the way in the deep end of, I'm done with the Browns, bleep them, they don't believe in me. I just took them to the playoffs for the first time since 2002, won their first playoff game since 1995. It was, okay, Carolina's interested, I'll get the deal done and take less in Carolina. But you look back at it, yes, Carolina's offensive line's been fine this year. You don't have Christian McCaffrey there anymore because they traded him a little bit in, but by then it was already too late. DJ Moore's really good. Him and Robbie Anderson, we know, are never getting on the same page. That was clear from the start. But you had a bad situation in Carolina because, unfortunately, you know, Matt Rhule didn't work out there. They got off to that terrible start. They lost close games early. The game to Cleveland where they didn't show up in the first half. Then they lost a game that could have been winnable against the Giants. And they lose that game. That game was tight. And once that went 0-2, you know that was a disaster of a situation. Like that just turns – when you lose those first two games, I don't care that they beat the Saints week three. That week two game against the Giants was must win, and they didn't win. So you're not wrong. If he would have stayed in Cleveland, if it's about restoring your image and setting yourself up in the best situation possible, yeah, Cleveland was a better situation than Carolina. I don't know if it was a better situation also factoring in the way you feel about the organization compared to Seattle. I think Seattle, even with Russell Wilson leaving, you would have got a chance to start. You would have been the starter. You had DK Metcalf. You had Tyler Lockett. You had weapons there, and you have a good coach in Pete Carroll. But if you stay in Cleveland, even though they didn't want you, you know the guys in the locker room. They got Amari Cooper this offseason. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and a tremendous offensive line. It would have probably made Baker Mayfield look, not probably, it would have made Baker Mayfield more probable than going to Carolina. So that you're right on. But that was never happening because Baker said the Browns said bleep me, so then I'm going to say bleep you back to them. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we'll update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. Kyle Whittingham's going to join us a little under an hour from now at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by former San Francisco 49ers defensive lineman in Ian Williams.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So Mr. Chatterbox and Jerry Jones has been chatting away how optimistic he is about Odell Beckham Jr. joining the Dallas Cowboys, and he's been probably trying to speak that into existence. Well, this is the first time you've heard a little resistance from one Jerry Jones in his 9,000th interview of the week on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, which is the best paid spot in the history of sports talk radio because it makes so much news. Jerry Jones discussed his confidence level in Odell Beckham Jr.'s ability to contribute this season after seeing his physical.
Well, I'm not confident at all. That's the issue. Now, we've got to come in with our eyes wide open and it has to be addressed, and that's when you see if you can make a deal or not.
And then let's hear Jerry Jones when asked about if OBJ is confident he'll play this year.
Has he given any indication on his own if he believes he can play this year?
I would say I'm gonna kind of keep that one at bay.
I don't sound too good. Now, that was a short answer by Jerry Jones. Hickey, usually he just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and talks for a minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, and you have no clue what he's saying. That's making it seem as if he's looking at Odell and saying, it's damaged goods now. Can't bring him in. Too banged up. Not healthy.
I think the shorter the answer, the more serious slash concerned he is. I mean, both those clips are combined like less than 20 seconds. So it's like Jerry's not talking for, you know, at length, which kind of shows you, maybe he's actually worried.
This is from Ari Miroff at My Sports Update via Ed Warder. Cowboys have concerns that Odell Beckham Jr.'s ACL has not progressed enough to ensure he'll be able to play before mid-January, per Ed Warder. Odell Beckham Jr. took physical with them on Monday. Jerry Jones had a change in tone when speaking to local radio this morning, as we just played that for you. Where is Odell Beckham Jr. playing this year? Seems like there's only three potential suitors: Bills, Cowboys, or the New York Giants. Or no one. I think I know where Hickey's going on this one.
I'm still going to say the Cowboys.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to try to take a little guess there. I thought you were going to say no one. And then breaking news 5 minutes later.
Yeah, here he
Odell
is.
Odell signs.
And he's playing on Sunday.
I'm saying Buffalo. Because if the injury is a concern, in terms of we don't know when he's going to be healthy, Buffalo, it's low risk, high reward. You have Super Bowl or bust expectations. The Giants don't have that. The Cowboys don't have that. I think Buffalo could just say, bleep it. We'll give him this one-year deal. We'll bring him in. And then if he never gets back and is never able to play, we're still set with Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. So I'm still going to go Buffalo on that. Anyway, let's go to Sean Payton on when he could return to coaching. This via Tom Brady's podcast, the Let's Go podcast.
I think sooner than later. I really enjoy the current job I have, but I think relative to coaching, though, I know that I want to coach again, but I want to find the right spot because when it's all done and it's quiet, I don't think it's the money or the crowd cheers or the trophies or any of that other stuff. I think it's about the journey with the people that you really enjoy. And so, you know, if not this year, hopefully next year.
Is he coaching next year, Hickey? That sounds like a man that is trying to say, yeah, I'm not definitely coming back next year, but I'm pretty much coming back next year.
Yeah, I think so, because I think, what, I would say 75% of the league, bare minimum, would fire their coach to get Sean Payton in, bare minimum. Whatever opening that he's looking for, he'll find it.
Well, let's do this by division. AFC East, I don't think there's an open. McDaniel's done a good enough job to still be there, and he has that connection with Tua. Robert Saleh's done a good enough job. I don't think anyone's firing their coach inside the AFC East to go get Sean Payton. You agree?
Well, in terms of, like, if I'm the Jets, would I if I knew Sean Payton said I want to come to the Jets, I would fire Robert Saleh. I guess it's a different conversation.
I don't think there's a likely suitor there right
now.
No,
I'd agree. Yeah, I'd agree.
AFC North?
I wonder about Kevin Stefanski.
I was just going to say Cleveland. Now, remember when the whole Deshaun Watson pursuit was going on and he ended up going to the Browns, they were talking about the Saints. A lot of people said if Sean was still there, they would not have explored it. So I don't know what happened with Sean Payton and Deshaun Watson, or if it was just from the principle that you don't want to bring a guy in when he was accused of all the things that he was accused of. But Stefanski, if Sean Payton wanted to go there, I'm not going to say it's an unrealistic possibility. Not likely, but I don't think it's unrealistic. AFC South, why would he want to go there?
Nowhere. Nowhere for him to go.
What about the Colts?
I'd love for him to go to the Colts.
Full control?
No. The other jobs that are out there.
Yeah, your draft pick's not good enough.
They're more attractive.
AFC West, Chargers. I think the Broncos will try to make a run at him, but I don't see why you go to Denver. NFC East? Giants aren't firing Daboll. Eagles aren't getting rid of Sirianni. Still the Cowboys. But I think McCarthy's done a good enough job to be back next year. But if they have a quick dismissal in the postseason, then that job could open right back up.
I also wonder, like, would Sean Payton actually want to work under Jerry Jones? I know he's been there before, but it's like...
they have a tight relationship.
Jerry just does nothing good for Mike McCarthy in terms
Bill Parcells got there.
I don't know. If you want the control, you're not getting in Dallas. And if you want just to focus on football, you're also not getting that in Dallas.
NFC North, any chance LaFleur, bye-bye, in comes Sean Payton to reunite?
I don't think so.
You know, reconnect with Aaron Rodgers? Okay. NFC South?
He's in division. It's too difficult. Bucks would be the team.
I think the most likely would be the Saints, and he just says, okay, I'll go back to the Saints. Brady, come on over. Red Rover, we want Brady over. And the NFC West, it'd be Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's three destinations for this offseason. Arizona, the Cowboys, and the Chargers. And I think the Chargers are the most likely for Sean. Let's go to Brian Gutekunst on if he would consider trading Aaron Rodgers this offseason. Packers GM.
Surely, yeah. We want all our guys back. And you know, we made a big commitment to him this offseason. So that was obviously, you know, something that was really important to us. Again, we went through something in the offseason where it was a very big commitment on our part. You know, it wasn't certainly for 1 year.
Now I'm a little bit confused by that. That, yeah, sure, in the beginning. Was the question, Hickey, would you consider trading him?
I did not hear the question, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think it was, do you want him back? Probably.
Gotcha. Because the way that this is labeled here is Brian Gutekunst on if he would consider trading Aaron Rodgers. That answer made it seem as if he wanted him back because they made the commitment to him. So, Gutekunst on if they are planning on picking up Jordan Love's fifth-year option.
Really pleased with his progression, you know, and what he's been able to do. I think it would be really good for him, you know, the growth that you need to go through, seeing things for the first time, making those mistakes that you need to make. But I think from our end of it, we've seen what we need to see.
So they're going to pick up that fifth-year option. That's what that sounds like. And I feel like if you're Gutekunst, you have to pick up the fifth-year option. You trade up so unnecessarily to go get Jordan Love, and everyone thought it was a bad decision to trade up. It's not as if he naturally fell to you. Then you already gave the extension to Aaron Rodgers. You've already taken the L to some extent. I think you got to hold out hope, though, that Rodgers walks soon, you know, maybe retires or wants out. And if that is the case, then you don't have the guy that you drafted there because you didn't pick up his fifth-year option. That's ugly. Like, there's no harm in picking up his fifth-year option, if you ask me. Tier Randy Moss on the Manning cast says that Peyton Manning is the reason why he didn't go to Tennessee.
My first visit to Notre Dame was special because that's where my heart was. So when I went to Tennessee, all I heard was Peyton Manning's in Virginia at a family member's house. He's trying to drive back here just to recruit you. And I was like, well, if he's driving here just to recruit me, why isn't he here right now to get me? So it was kind of like Peyton being late. He wasn't punctual. So that was the reason I didn't become a volunteer. Peyton was late.
Wow. Wow.
That hurts. That hurts. I was seeing my girlfriend, now wife, at Virginia. I got up at 3 in the morning, drove all the way back. I said, Randy, we're going to throw it every play here. You know, 3 years, you'll be coming out to the NFL. He was not hearing it. He was headed for Notre Dame. I gave him my best pitch, though. My best pitch.
That's a bad job out of Peyton Manning. I know you're the biggest Peyton Manning fan. That's a bad job by number 18.
Well, in one aspect, I will say be better. Also, wake up at 3 a.m. Give him respect.
No.
It wasn't so bad.
You
got
to make sure you're there and throwing rose petals at the feet of Randy Moss if he was interested in coming. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. It's a bad job by the sheriff. And finally, Tom Brady. They were down 16-3 with a little over 3 minutes to go. And Brady comes back and wins that game 17-16. Brady discusses his emotions after the game-winning touchdown pass to Rashad White.
Great route by Rashad. Great catch. Byron made a great call. So it was, you know, we thought we threw the touchdown. I didn't see the one we hit to Chris. And then I thought I threw it in about a quarter of a second. I was like, how is there a hole? I told her, how is there a hole? I caught it and threw it. And they put us back on, I think, the 15, and then still found a way. So it was a, you know, great team win.
It shows you, that's a great point by Brady. It really shows you how bad Donovan Smith has been. Brady's getting this ball out in 2 seconds or less, and this guy's still holding. And there's about 10 penalties they did not call on him last night that I feel like they should have called. So the Bucs, Brady does it once again. They're 6-6. I don't think anyone really looks at them as a complete team as a threat. But once you have Brady, if you leave that door open, he could always come crashing right in and ruin the party for some team. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Kyle Whittingham, head coach of the back-to-back Pac-12 champion Utah Utes, is going to join us at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. When we return, though, we're going to do a little overreaction or proper reaction for this past week in the NFL. You don't want to miss that coming up in 5 minutes. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.